Blog Talk Radio.
Ah, damn it, I did it again. Oh well. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of Kings himself. And no, that's not my area to have the sirens that's going on right now.
Yes, yes, that is Sean Black in the building. With the sirens going off.
Hey, I'm your host, the Hot Rod. Okay. Very interesting.
Yes, yes. So what happens when you live in a big city?
All right. Mr. Black, are you ready to piss some people off?
I believe we are. If by pissing them off we mean giving them the absolute truth.
Well, it is what it is sometimes. Wait a minute. I think we're missing somebody.
Yes.
You know who? Yes. Now I know who we're missing. We're missing my cranberry juice. Cranberry juice, come over here. Thank you so much,
brother,
for being with me. All right.
So, in other words, you got a chair for your cranberry juice to help do the show.
Of course. I need it.
Of course. Anitra B is the one that you don't hear the voice of right now.
Who? Thank you. Yes, happy 4th, everyone. I hope everybody had a good weekend so far. We did a pre-show game yesterday. Pre-show game.
A pre-show game, yes.
Yeah, that's.
I think you mean pre-game show.
I don't know. I'm still hungover. Excuse me.
I understand.
And, you know, we'll talk about a little bit about freedom of speech.
Yes.
The First Amendment to the United States Constitution allows us freedom of expression and religion.
Yes.
Now, celebrating the 4th of July, the 239th year of this great country of ours, does the freedom of speech really mean freedom of speech? Think about that for a minute, guys.
That's a fair question.
Can we say what's on our mind, really, without any consequences, without any back jabbing or whatever? Sean, what do you think about that?
Well, before I answer that question, for those that really don't know the First Amendment of the Constitution, it's a very short sentence that was put into the Constitution as part of the Bill of Rights in December 15th, 1791. And it states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And this is that part of the Constitution is actually inscribed in Independence Hall in Philadelphia. So those that go to Independence Hall, you'll see it as soon as you get near the steps, right there on the stairs. To answer your question, based on that, freedom of speech goes throughout the entirety of every phase of life in the United States of America. It's probably the most important amendment in the Constitution to a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. You have the right to say whatever is on your mind, the right to practice whatever religion. As long as you're not killing anyone or doing anything dangerous, you have that right. You have the right to go to whatever school you want. You have the right to speak your mind, as we're doing on this forum. Freedom of speech, covers what we're doing right now. Freedom to go out in the street and be a complete jerk if you would like to. And that's the way it is.
Which I am almost every day.
Of course. I just had to throw that one in. But
thank
the
you.
Other thing is that with freedom of speech comes responsibility of that speech, in meaning that every speech, every word you say, everything you do that has a freedom also has a consequence you have to answer for if you disrespect it. And that's the one thing that a lot of people that don't really go into when they think they're going to say something or they speak and they don't fully think before they speak, they don't realize the consequences can be grave as to what they're saying or what they're doing, because as we've spoken about, Donald Trump has put his foot in his mouth in a lot of instances. A lot of politicians have done that. A lot of celebrities, important people within the press and the media, in actors, newspapers, etc. They've said things that they probably regret, or maybe they don't regret. But in the long term, they have the freedom to say whatever the heck they want to say.
Okay, we have two more callers. I mean, Anitra B is back. Thank you for calling in.
Hello, guys.
Hello there.
And we have another caller.
Ms. Jones, what's up?
Ms. Jones,
hey there.
All right, so we have two females, two guys. Now, business is going to pick up indeed.
Yes.
So let me start with Ms. Jones, a real lady. Does freedom of speech really mean freedom of speech, Ms. Jones?
I'm sorry, repeat that?
Is freedom of speech really a freedom of speech?
You know, I honestly believe in some instances it's really not, because, I mean, you know, depending on the circumstance and the situation, it can really send you in a complete other direction, like a tailspin. So you don't really feel so free after voicing said speech. And sometimes, you know, like I think like the other caller was saying, sometimes you really just end up in predicaments. You know, basically the don't write a check that your ass can't cash. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So you're going to talk the talk. You have to walk the walk.
I mean, some people have a notion that they can walk the walk and they're going to be able to walk the walk. But like I said, when it really happens and it's occurring, and they're in the thick of it all, it's not what they expected, you know. So, I mean, you know, they say hindsight is 20/20. So I don't know what Trump is learning from all of his banter, but hopefully he's learning something. I don't know if he's learning anything. I don't know. I just think he has a narcissistic ego that just, you know, keeps him above it all.
Yes.
I don't know.
Narcissistic is probably the best word to describe him.
Actually,
yeah.
What I would like to know is who approved that speech? His publicist, his writer, needs to be fired.
He
approved
it.
Seriously, who approved that? Like, obviously, someone wrote that speech. Who approved that?
Yes. And I think this...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the most damning thing about this entire situation, for those that have been catching the tail end of all of the Donald Trump stuff, is he doesn't know what he did wrong. That's the worst part about this whole situation, is he has no idea. Or maybe he does on some level, but for the most part, there's like absolutely there's no remorse. He's just firing off at all cylinders on every situation, and it's just getting worse and worse, and he keeps sinking. Yet his poll numbers have gone up some, but everything that's going on is not going to stay there that long, I don't think.
How do you know? You don't know that for sure. Remember,
I'll tell you why. The reason why I think his poll numbers are not going to stay up that long is because in the world of politics, the way things go, we know this is probably some of the earliest we've seen Republicans come out of the woodworks and declare that they're going to run for president. I think there's something like 14 candidates running right now. Out of 14 candidates, if your poll numbers are up, that's really not that great, considering we still have about 14 months to go before we have any voting. And what's going to eventually happen is those heavy, fast numbers that escalate will level out at some point as the other candidates whittle away. And then when you get that concentrated voting output for the primaries and who we're going to vote for, that's when the numbers will precipitously drop even worse than we think that they will be.
Okay, but are we becoming too sensitive now in this country with our freedom of speech? Like, can we say what's on our mind and not get offended?
I don't know if we're becoming. It's a toss up, because I think with social media, people do everything, people say everything, type everything, and it's it basically comes down to the person. Are you easily offended? Are you too sensitive? Have you become desensitized? So honestly, I think it really depends on the person. I think another thing I'm noticing, or I've been noticing, is sometimes the person isn't offended, but they'll step back and they'll let everyone else that is offended run with it. And they really could care less. Like, if you understand what I mean. Like, some people really don't care about certain things, but because the masses do, then all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to care too. I mean, like, you don't have a mind of your own, and that's what I'm seeing,
like,
you know, a lot of. It's like a lot of people are so passionate on Facebook or so passionate on Twitter and social media, and it's like when you actually take them off of social media and put them in social settings, they crumble. They don't even know how to feel. So they don't know if they're sensitive. They don't know if they're offended. They don't know anything unless someone comes along and co-signs it and says, "Hey, you should be offended." Like, really?
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? It's like
I get where you're coming from.
It's like people don't know themselves anymore.
Yeah. And just
a lot of people what I've seen is a lot of people are so used to the anonymity of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can say whatever you want. You're in your own room. There's nobody around you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That when it comes to actual conversation, they lost it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad.
It's sad. It's really. I mean, I honestly want Zuckerberg to do an interview present day where people say, I really want to know. Does he think Facebook has helped or hurt society?
Hmm.
That's more of a hurt. Remember, Facebook back then was all about connecting with people for college kids.
Yes.
And
yes.
Now there's one whole different level now. Now people are expressing anger and frustration via Facebook. So it's easier to say for me to say it on a computer, but if I have to say it to Ms. Jones' face, I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It seems like Facebook has now become almost like a beauty pageant. It's where people go online to ask how popular they are, to throw out ideas for other things that may be trivial in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. What you're seeing now, you're getting a lot of entitlement from a lot of people that get on Facebook because they think that it's going to get them on the road to being popular or famous. But we've talked in the past about parents that shame their kids online through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We talked in the past about how Facebook has hurt sometimes more than it helps. There are some really good things about Facebook, as you stated earlier, Hot Rod, where people would go on, you know, college kids would connect, that they're looking for a job. They would go and, you know, they would network with other companies, or they would go and find long-lost friends or family members that they haven't seen in a long time and get in contact with them. But when we as a society with over 350 million people in the United States and well over 7.5 billion people on planet Earth, basically, there is no corner of the world that is untouched because of social media. And we've gotten to the point now where we've given social media so much power that you can get the silliest message across, i.e. a video that I saw a couple days ago of a goat in Jamaica headbutting somebody in the chest and somebody doing a voiceover of it and making it funny. Or you can go on Facebook and you can see a white supremacist go online and try to recruit people for a race war. Those are the variables and the extremes that we've seen with Facebook. And it's not just Facebook. Dailymotion, Reddit, Twitter, LinkedIn, some of the other social media outlets that are out there that can be dangerous in the wrong hands.
Instagram, Snapchat.
Expression of that's their right to express what they want on social media. Are people taking advantage of freedom of speech?
Until somebody tells them otherwise, they're going to.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I'm entitled to say that. You know what? I don't like Ms. Jones. So what?
It's one thing if you say, okay, Ms. Jones, I don't like you at all. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put a video on here stating the 10 reasons why I don't like you and put it up on Facebook. There's a difference between that and actually getting photos of you or recording comments of an intimate phone conversation and then putting it on social media and then claiming it's my God-given right as freedom
exactly.
of speech in this country to
exactly.
go ahead and play that out there for everybody else. That's where you get into the sticky problems.
Because that's when the lines become blurred, because now you're bullying, now you're antagonizing, now you're harassing, now it's becoming something else. And the interesting thing about that is what I find interesting in America, it differs, like the laws in terms of bullying differs from state to state. And what's happening is even though we have this quote-unquote freedom of speech, they don't even know how to create laws in terms of protecting humans, you know, from certain things. And it's like you've given us social media, but yet there's so many ills and wrongs that's being created because of social media, and they need to curtail. They need to curtail a lot of things. You know, because one thing I noticed about Facebook, if someone's harassing you and you block them, one of the first things apparently they do is create another account. Like, it's like, are you serious?
Yeah.
It's like some people are seriously pathetic.
Very true. Okay, talk about freedom of speech. Let's say we all work together, and Sean Black and I were cracking up jokes about you ladies. Oh, your ass is tight, blah, 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 or you look like a chicken, and you file harassment charges against us. But don't we have our freedom of expression to express ourselves about you ladies?
Like I said before, it's time and place. Something like that would not be appropriate. So, yes, there's going to be a reaction.
Okay.
And it's also,
you know what's interesting when you brought that up, Rodney? Remember, I don't know if you guys remember the video where the girl was walking in, like, all black, and she was walking down the street, and she did, like, a video for probably, I don't know how many hours. And
yeah.
the video became coined street harassment.
Yeah,
and
I think that came out like last year, yeah.
Yeah, as a female, I felt so, like, pissed off by that because me personally, anything that she was going through, that was, I don't even want to say it was minor, but it was like, it was really guys just saying, hey, what's up, hi. The only thing that I found disturbing was the guy that literally was following her. But, I mean, the rest of the video was like, is this what you really want to coin harassment? Especially when you look at the harassment on a level when it comes to women and how it goes underreported and how a lot of when it is reported, how it's shrugged off. There are circumstances and instances where it's actual blatant harassment and they do nothing with it. So when that video came out and she's just walking down the street and guys are saying hi and turning around and catcalling, for you to coin that harassment, I found that to be, like, a blow to women. Like, that was just ridiculous to me.
And the comment that you brought up, the scenario that you brought up, Hot Rod, about that, let's say, happening at the job.
Mm-hmm.
In that particular instance, your freedom of speech is kind of superseded by the rules of the job pertaining to, let's say, we're in a job situation and there are codes involved with, like, sexual harassment speech or that kind of thing. If somebody really feels that particular way and it falls under that envelope of, you know, you said that why are you talking about my bra size or why are you talking about whatever that is that can be misconstrued as, you know, sexual harassment, that can be brought up under that realm. But other than that, that's where the slippery slope goes in.
There's a loophole to everything. I will bring my freedom of speech into that. And let's say it doesn't happen at the workplace. We were harassing the ladies outside the workplace. Does that still count?
I think so. I think from the standpoint of, as we just stated, you have the right to say whatever you want. You can walk up to a lady today after the show and say that she has the yellowest, blotchiest skin I have ever seen, and it looks like she has a picture of Jay Leno on her neck. She looks hideous, and she smells like old bananas. You can say that if you want.
But in return,
there's also repercussions behind what you say.
I'm sorry, Anika, what you said?
I said when she turns around and punches you in the face, that's her reaction.
Yeah,
well, That's a freedom of expression. She's entitled to do that.
Yes, and the expression is to get punched in the nose.
Oh,
I'm not condoning any violence, but if you offend somebody, see, this is the thing, and a lot of people feel emboldened to go out because they know that they're in this country, and you have the freedom to say whatever you want, and there's nothing wrong with that. There are people that are out there that will spew the most racist, sexist garbage on that they can think of, and they have that right in this country to say whatever they want. They also know that there is also the freedom of speech in the repercussions of that is what they have to follow through with, because there are a lot of people that will probably disagree with those comments, and they have the freedom to do a rebuttal on that.
All right.
And that rebuttal could be much worse than what that person said.
And you see, and I think that's what's happening. I think people are so becoming so comfortable with there being no consequences that they feel no. Now they're in a place where whatever I say, I don't have to have any type of filter, because 6 days out of the week, I can say whatever I want. So why is it on the seventh day people are saying something to me? And I feel like that's what happened with Trump. He's a boss. Literally, he's a boss. No one contests him. I mean, even his kids, I'm sure they say, Dad, well, and Dad, well, and you know. They
I don't care,
even,
you're fired.
Exactly. Like, so it's like a lot of people, like I said earlier, it's your ego that's being built on a daily basis. So when one day out of the week comes along and everyone's coming at you and going crazy, depending on how strong your ego is, you may not give a rat's ass. You may just really be like, okay, they're just mad. They'll get over it. And that's another thing I'm noticing. I notice that people really just sit back and wait till the storm blows over, and then they come back and they're right being the same way again.
Mm.
You know, so it's like a lot of people really don't care about the things they say. I mean, another stance for me, I actually like the fact that some people are just blatantly whatever, because could you imagine, like, how many people you work with? Your boss, for instance, if he was, you know, he's probably on Facebook or some website spewing the most, and you would never know, and you may never know. There was this cop, they did a documentary on him. He was online, the cannibal cop, he was online saying who he's going to eat, and he's going to eat his wife, and he was offering his wife and his kid up, and all this madness. And it's like, when everything came... Huh? I mean, it's a really good documentary. It's on HBO. When everything came to light, they didn't know what to do with him. Because remember the movie Minority Report?
Yes.
They can't prosecute you for a crime that hasn't happened.
Yeah, it's basically in the dealing with pre-crime, which would be even scarier.
Yeah. So he was. They were trying to figure out what are we gonna do with him? Like, are we gonna? You know, it was the most interesting thing. And it was all because he was using social media or the internet as a way to escape and become dark and I would say psychotic, you know. So, it's when freedom of speech veers you into abnormality, you know, or just certain levels of darkness, then that's where I believe there's a problem, an inherent problem.
Hey, you want to know the crazy thing about this is when the Hot Rod and I and Anitra, we discussed this off air when we were talking about the whole Donald Trump thing. A couple times it came up. And initially we didn't really want to even bring any of it up because we didn't want to give any more credence to it.
But
I believe it's much more of an important thing in the context of the title of our show as far as the topic we're discussing, because a lot of people will probably worry, have that same ideal in their mind. They're like, well, he's saying all of this stuff, but yet he wants to run for president. I mean, the fallout for Donald Trump with all of the things that are going on have really piled up on him. We touched on it in the past, but he is losing millions of dollars, which doesn't really do a whole lot of justice to a lot of people thinking
that
he should be losing more than that.
That's
yes, it's just another write-off for him. He lost sponsorship from Macy's, NBC Universal, from Univision, which NBC owns. Serta, the mattress company, he has a clothing line. They don't want anything to do with him. And the pageant, the people that run the Miss USA and Miss Universe pageant, which he co-owns, have wanted nothing to do with him and even yanked the TV spots that it was going to be on, to the point where they found a new home for it, which is on, I think, the Reels channel, which you have to, like, really look for to find the channel. And then you've got other Mexican pageant countries, contestants that are in the pageant that have pulled out. Miss Panama, she pulled out. I believe in Mexico pulled out, obviously, for the disparaging comments that were made. And yet, throughout all of this, as I said earlier, Donald Trump doesn't seem to understand why he's getting such backlash. As a matter of fact, he said this himself just yesterday. I didn't know it was going to be quite this severe, but I really knew it was going to be bad. I mean, really.
Okay,
go figure.
Well, so what he said as part of that speech about Mexico, you know, they're bringing in the drugs, they're bringing in the rapists, they're bringing in the crime. That will offend a lot of people.
Yes, because he generalized the entire country, and that's the problem. If he's trying to bring out a point of saying, if he was to go out and say, well, there have been high instances where there have been Mexicans that have come across the border that have brought in crime and that they have raped, and he said it in the sense that there are statistics that state this, that's one thing. It's another thing to completely generalize the entire country. That is absolutely ridiculous. He condemned not only the country, he condemned the culture, and he condemned the race. And that's the problem that he doesn't seem to get.
Well, like Anisha said, who writes this stuff for him? Or maybe to speak out of his own head.
I really don't believe anybody wrote anything for him. I believe he did this right off the hill.
I think he did that all
himself. Well, okay, here's my question. Did he say all this for attention? To prove a point?
Of course.
Or to get backlash?
Of course he did.
Anisha, do you obviously know, listening to this person, what kind of person Donald Trump comes across as. So if you're, let's say you're a Republican, and he's hitting on all of these points that seems to be part of the Republican hive mind type of thinking,
mm-hmm.
where would you side on this as far as being in the Republican Party? If you're offended, do you say anything? Or if you agree with what he's saying, but you know that if you stand with him, you're going to get public backlash, what do you do?
Well, that's actually, there's no right answer to that. It depends what kind of person you are. I mean, I personally don't agree with what he said, you know, but then again, he had the right to say it. He just sounded
so freedom of speech. Did he take his speech over?
Yeah, of course he had the right to say it. He just sounded stupid.
That's
really
that
it.
That's true.
Sean, you seem like you have something against Donald Trump.
This is the thing. I don't have anything any different against Donald Trump than I have against anybody that comes across as a boorish, racist individual that is very – the word I'm looking for is arrogant and obnoxious. That's what I go against. Now, I don't want Donald Trump to come listening to us and think about trying to sue us little tiny people. But in all reality, though, the problem with people of Donald Trump's ilk, the ones that think like him and have the power to go ahead and say things that the way he does, there seems to be, one, no filter, and then there's no recognizable fault from his side. You can have an opinion and a thought process in a way about a particular race of people or a particular group, a religion, a section of the United States or of the world, that's your prerogative. The problem is when you bring it to a public forum, especially if he is supposedly going to run for the presidency of the United States, when you have a large percentage of people that are going to be your constituents at some point, and you figure the Hispanic community, who was very strong, voted for Obama when he was reelected. Those same groups of people that you offended are the ones that you're going to be trying to pander to vote to get votes from. And I don't understand how intelligent that is, especially when you don't even really think that there was a problem with what you said. That's the problem.
But that part I understand. But don't be surprised if you open eyes to other people about this situation. Because we do have an immigration problem, no?
Yes, we do. But see, the thing is, I don't think calling the people that you're trying to help eliminate the quote-unquote problem, if you're in the eyes of Donald Trump, you're saying that we have an immigration problem, I don't think insulting them and calling them rapists and as such is going to help the problem or get you any voters, because for you to implement any of this stuff as a law, you actually have to have some power. He's got money. He knows important people in important places, but he can't do anything unless he's in office. And if he's not in office, he's not going to be able to do anything. And the even sadder part about that is he employs a lot of Mexican and Mexican-Americans that work for his various businesses, and he offended pretty much everyone across the line with those statements. And if he thinks that way about Mexican-Americans or Mexicans, what does he think about African-Americans? What does he think about other races? And that's the problem that people don't realize when you are in a position of power to speak that way. You don't know who you're going to offend.
Okay, I understand that point. Go ahead, Ms. Jones.
No, go ahead, Ronnie. Go ahead.
No, like, I understand what Sean Black is saying, but okay, he doesn't like black people, but we're still working for him regardless, despite what he knows about us. Mm-hmm. So you know what? It's we've got to take the bad with the good. Yes, my boss does not like us, but he still pay me XYZ amount of money. What should I do? Should I suck it up? His opinion does not
I guess you can do one of a couple things. You could probably either swallow your pride and just say, I work for the guy, he gives me my paycheck. Or if you stand for some sort of principles, you can try and look for another job and try and find someplace else. It's a sticky situation from that sense. But in the context of free speech, you have that inalienable right to say whatever you want and put both feet in your mouth if you want to. But don't cry about the ramifications that happen after you say such blasphemy in certain instances, because you're going to offend an entire section of people. You may offend a religion or a section of religious potential voters. And even more so, the comments may galvanize another potential candidate against what you're saying to hurt the position that you're trying to get to.
So, Anitra B., should we be worried about Donald Trump if he gets the ticket to run for president?
Nah. I really don't think. He's a joke. I don't think he's going to go much further. If he does continue the campaign and stay in the race, he's never going to win. It's like when Ross Perot ran. You remember that?
Oh yeah.
That was funny.
Well, believe it or not, Ross Perot did change the race a little bit. He got
he did. But we all knew he wasn't going to win.
No, but he did something that we all wish we had done, run for president. But he had the money to do it, and he did it.
Well, why not? A FICA tree ran for president.
Yes.
You remember that?
You know what they need to do? They need to do a true Hollywood story about the FICA's plant and see what it's been doing since its election bid.
About the what?
I'm sorry?
About the what? I didn't get that. About the what?
There was an actual ficus plant that that was put on the nomination way back when. And they should probably do one of those true Hollywood stories to try to do an update on what the ficus plant has been doing in its downtime.
Well, I'm sure that ficus plant is doing very well.
Probably doing better than us right now.
Yeah. Well, the point of the ficus trade was someone wanted to make a point that mostly a lot of Americans just vote on the popular ballot. They don't actually do the research and, you know, actually take the time out to read who is this candidate, what does this person want, who does this person stand for, you know what I mean? So they put a ballot out, which you could do, and they put the ficus tree on a ballot, and I think it got like 1% of the vote or something like that. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hey, but that person still got a vote. Okay. Like I said, today's going to be a short show, so it's on to the main event topic. Oh! Continue about expressing our freedom of religion or right to do whatever we want or say what we want. I don't know if you guys have noticed, ladies, there have been some controversy of the American flag, also with the Confederate flag. Lately, people want to be burning flags up in the air like, I'm angry, I'm upset, let me burn the American flag. Lately, there have been police brutality, racism, crime, all this stuff is going up lately because I know that we've been talking about it almost every week on this show.
Pretty much, yeah.
But now,
yeah.
Yeah, so, but lately, people are so angry and frustrated with the crisis that's going on with this country. For example, last week in Fort Greene, Brooklyn, there was a protesters down there to light up the American flag, which they did. And which, of course, started controversy because people are upset about it. Sean Black, how do you feel about expressing your beliefs of America and you brought up the American flag?
Well, I'm a firm believer of the First Amendment. Obviously, you have your own views, as I just stated earlier. But
isn't it illegal?
Burning a flag in this country, I think it is illegal.
It's not.
It's
not. It's not. There's an expression. The way it was illegal to do it in the park because you can't have open flame. So how they did it was they took a barbecue pit and lit the fire into the barbecue. You can't barbecue something. So they did that. So
they were probably trying to make hamburgers and steaks off of the flag being burned.
Yeah.
Get it. See, here's the problem. If to answer your question, I personally feel nobody's flag should be burned, period. Especially if you're in the country that the flag belongs to. I'm not even a fan of the Confederate flag being burned. Mm-hmm. And my issue with that is that, and on a historical sense, I'll just put it in just a historical sense, we know what the flag of the United States of America is supposed to represent. Other people will think otherwise, but it's supposed to represent the 350 million people that live in the United States and the ancestors that were here beforehand. The Confederate flag, although it does represent a lot of racism and a lot of evil in society, it did have a purpose at some point. Way back during the Civil War and beforehand when it was initially brought up. There is obviously now, I believe, no real use for the Confederate flag outside of its historical reasoning. So in that sense, it should be in a museum. It should be in a history book. It should be looked at so people can look at and see what happened in the past. But as far as burning a flag, I think it's probably the ultimate disrespect for anybody in any country. That's like me going to England and burning the Union Jack. Or that's like me going to Haiti and burning the Haitian flag. Or going to Puerto Rico and burning the Puerto Rican flag. Or going to Denmark and burning their flag. It's disrespectful to that country and to the people that are there and the people that it represents. And I personally don't think that that should be the case. But if you're falling under freedom of speech, that's the slippery slope that you have, and I don't know about that one.
Okay, Ms. Jones?
The flag. Yeah, I'm not with the whole burning of it. Like Sean said, I just feel it's really unnecessary. Just me personally with the Confederate flag, I just don't understand why it's even. Hey, we're in America. Have the American flag all over the place. Boom. Call it a day. I mean, I don't know. I just think I'm like really just over it. Like, I don't want the flag out and about. There was a poll on CNN. They said 57% of individuals don't have a problem with the Confederate flag. I was like, who are these 57%?
That's what I'm
talking about. The people that live in South Carolina that actually have the flag. I was like, really? Where do they get these stats from? I always I always tell people that. Whenever someone comes at you with stats, this is something we fundamentally learn in statistics and research. If I ask one, or if I ask two people what ice cream they like and they both say vanilla, I'm going to give you a stat that says 100% of people say they like vanilla.
Exactly.
People really have to be very leery about wherever these statistics come from.
Yeah.
You have to know where they're pulling their info from or their stats, their data. So I'm like, I'm really over the Confederate flag. Like the governor said, and I'm going to repeat it, it's a historic item. Put it in a museum. If you want to go see it, go to the museum. Call it a day. And if they really want to bring up a flag debate, then guess what? All Jamaicans, all Trinidadians, wherever you go, put your flags up. You don't just have to have your flags out on Labor Day. Have your flags wherever you want, if that's the case.
True. That's good to have the freedom to do.
Exactly. I mean, I want to go to City Hall and see a Jamaican flag right now.
That would be interesting.
Exactly.
I would. That, you know, de Blasio would probably have a real interesting day if he saw that.
Exactly.
Okay, Anitra B?
Yeah, same. I'm over it. I couldn't care less. It's wrong to burn it. I don't agree with anyone burning any flags. I don't care where you're from. And I, same here. I feel that it should be in a museum. You want to go see it? See it. If you don't, go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. The number to call, ladies and gentlemen, is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. And my question to Sean Black.
Okay.
People are disagreeing with burning of the flag. With the outrage and the current events that's going on right now, what's the best way for people to express their anger, the frustration with racism, police brutality, and God knows whatever else that's going on in this crazy country of ours?
Well, the best thing to do is talk to your congressman, talk to an alderman, go to somebody that has power to help out, organize, you know, neighborhood watches. If you have a neighborhood, if you live in a community that you have a lot of neighbors involved in apartment buildings or living in houses, organize something with them. Try to have conversations with them and try to voice their opinions, and then go see what you can do. Talk to somebody within your local Congress or Senate or whatever and try to get something to spark conversation, to get something going. Because in the fact that we always, everybody runs to social media, we know that it can also do good if it's pointed and focused in the right direction to the right people and filtered through the right channels. So that's one thing that you can do also. Go to the news if you want to talk about something like that. Contact one of the local news stations and see if they can do a story on it. A show like ours, you know, start a podcast, do blogs. There are a number of things that you can do to help out the situation without going rogue, Rambo, and wanting to kill everybody.
Yeah, but
well, you know,
see, that's the interesting part. That's the interesting part. Is that a lot? I've noticed this. A lot of people would rather rant and rave like a lunatic and spark negative attention to themselves and to the community instead of actually going out there and doing something about
it
in a positive way, which is a bit disturbing.
Get on the ground floor, hit the pavement, as they say.
Yeah, do something about it. Don't just rant and rave and look like an idiot.
Yeah, start a rally where you would, you know, such and such date, such and such time, peacefully, with no craziness going on. Say, this is a rally to bring to light this, this, and this. And it's really one of those things that can help out if done the right way. If you just focus and filter everything to the right channels, you can get everything done and maybe make a difference on some level.
Yeah.
Well, is that our job or that's a youth job?
I think it's a human job.
That's everyone's job.
It's everyone's job, but it seems like more that the youth, this young generation, remember how we protested back then? It was all about the youth. The youth has the power to, you know, to do everything. Us adults, you know, we have to work. You know, we have to make a living. What about the younger generation?
You don't.
like Sean said, it's a human thing. It's everyone. Everyone has to support one another to make the, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. It's not young work makes the dream work. It's not old work. You know, it's teamwork. So regardless of your age, you know, if you all have a similar goal in mind, get it going. You know, when we talk about people working, I think that's one of the things, you know, that will always keep people in certain positions in terms of not dealing with whatever issues at hand. I have to go to work. I got to make a living. You've been working for 20, 30 years, and you still have to go to work, and you still have the same issues. When are you going to take a step back and focus on making a change in your life personally or just on a different level? And that's what, you know, I honestly feel like that's what's holding a lot of black people back. Because like I said on one of our other shows, if black people were to actually forge ahead and try to make strides, someone could just come along and say, yo, I got a paycheck. Cut that one down. Get rid of this goal. Here, hold this money. And that's it. It's a dead issue. Create antagonize that person. Create a division here just because they ran them some money. Money is the root of all evil. And in the black community, I just feel like people, not even just to say the black community, because like you guys know, I'm also Jamaican. So I just feel like when it comes to money and hype and showing off and being seen and just doing the most, that always comes first than actually standing for something that'll create changes throughout time. You know, let me get the biggest car and the hottest clothes and the flyest dude or the flyest girl before I decide to work on EEO issues at my job. You know what I mean?
So you're saying that's how I feel. So basically we don't have our priorities straight, you're saying?
Never. I took a class on racial and ethnicity, and one of the books that we was reading, they literally said black people spent, but consumerism in terms of black people, what? Okay, when it comes to Sunday dressing and dinner alone, the amount of money black people spend, you remember Harlem Nights and Cotton Club days and all of that?
Yes.
We have to look the flyest. We have to be the flyest. The hair has to be the biggest.
Got to get some Conkling.
Yeah.
Got to get my hair straight.
We like to style and profile.
Yeah. Exactly. it's like the funny thing I learned very, very a long time ago. You see white people, and not even just white people, some of the people that wear the most frumpiest, dumpiest clothes, those be the ones that have the most money. You never see what they really got. It's like,
how many CEOs have you seen that like white CEOs that look like they just got off the beach?
Exactly.
Hair braided, sunglasses, flip flops, and a pair of shorts, and they're sitting on like $2 billion.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's not Donald Trump, that's for sure. Styles and profile.
What Rodney?
Donald Trump styles and profile. He does not wear shorts, okay? He has to wear a suit that's made in Mexico.
I don't think it has much to do with it, like being white or black. I think it has more to do like with the area you're in. Because like in New York, for example, Wall Street is huge. But if you go to the financial district in Los Angeles, it's flip-flops.
Well, that's not that.
It's the area. I mean, from what I've seen, my personal experience, it's more the area, not what the person, you know, not the race or the nationality of the person.
Okay.
But with
the banner of the American flag, we get upset when other countries have done it, like the terrorists and everything. So why are we doing it ourselves if we get upset with the rest of the world that does it?
That's a good question. I think what I think is the issue is we have this fear in this country, and it's mostly from the media, mostly from politicians who are always trying to get people to scare them into voting for referendums that hurt more than help, is that you see something on the news, especially when it comes to radicalized this and we're going to go to war with America that. You hear enough of that stuff, and it does scare the right people into doing something that probably would hurt more than help. I think that when you look at, if you, for example, shortly after 9/11, when we were going on the color coding of this is orange threat level, this is green, we're safe, this is red, this is yellow, we were going through all that. It seemed like every other week there was some sort of, well, the threat level has been raised. You have to be more diligent and make sure. And it would scare the hell out of everybody else without really explaining anything. And if you get the right person with the wrong mindset, you could scare them into doing anything you want them to do. And I think a lot of politicians love that kind of thing because fear-mongering does work. So it's a matter of going through all of the things that you see and just making a common-sense decision as to what information you're getting, where you're getting it from, and even more so, who's controlling that message.
Oh, Anisha B?
Wow.
Going once? Going twice?
Anisha B's so hungover from last night. That's what it is.
Sold to the lady that just got...
Actually, no. I wasn't because I stopped for like an hour before I left, and I juiced. I just juiced. So I was okay.
Yeah.
And go figure, I left my umbrella in your car, so at some point
I
got to get your umbrella.
Okay, guys, that sounds too personal right now. We don't need to. Sorry. Okay, it's time to wrap it up, believe it or not, because like I said, it's going to be a short show because I need to go and have my cranberry juice. So.
Yes.
I mean, cranberry juice, okay.
Yes.
Yes.
It's almost
it's very potent
time.
Cranberry juice, too.
Yes.
Does the body
get getting that urine right, huh?
Oh, yes, indeed. So, Ms. Jones, final thoughts on everything.
Wow, final thoughts. For those people out there being Facebook thugs and keyboard warriors, just take it easy. Go out and smell some roses or something before you get thorned.
Wow.
I don't know. And don't hang the flag.
Wow.
Leave the flags alone. Confederate flag, time to go away. Boo. I mean, it's over and done with. I mean, hey, if the Confederate flag doesn't go away, yeah, Jamaican flags everywhere.
She has to represent.
Yeah, bro.
Ms. Joe, I mean, Anisha B.
Wait, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. My system, I'm breaking up over here.
Oh, well, number one, get a real phone. And number two, what is your final thought?
Ew.
I can't with Rodney.
I hope someone pees in your cranberry juice.
He probably already did.
Oh, God.
After last night, anything could happen after last night, trust me.
Oh, boy.
I just really wish people would start emphasizing on things that are actually important, and instead of ranting and raving, do something. You know, go to the community centers, educate, just do something.
Okay.
Yes.
Sean Black, do something. What's your final thought?
Do something. My final thought is, and this is going to be a little all-encompassing. First of all, this is going to go out to all the people that have listened to the show from the beginning. We've gotten over 1,000 listeners, which is something that we touched on a little pre-show yesterday. So I personally, along with the rest of the crew, are extremely happy over that. And we thank you as listeners and callers that have called up and supported the show since March. And we continue to get stronger and stronger. But even more so, just in general, it goes to show you that the show, that the medium that we have is actually pretty powerful for a little podunk show that started off and has grown and done well, and we're getting more and more people listening to the show. I think that for us, it's our responsibility to make sure that whatever news that we get or whatever stories we have is pertinent to the people that are listening, and that it's important to them that they know that they are just as important as the news that we report. So from that sense, I want to be able to say I'm humbled and thank everybody that has participated, listened, downloaded, and have been part of the show in any of the 21 shows that we've done. And I thank you from the heart. That's my final thought.
Okay, thanks so much, Sean Black. As for the King of Kings himself, personally, I'm against the burning of the flag. I you know me, guys. I always preach, say what's on your mind. But the burning of the flag is very sentimental to me because, like everybody else, we all know people that serve and die for this country.
Exactly.
So for them to go on a rampage, or because they don't like what's going on with this country, but you know they have time to rant it on social media. Why are you going to burn a symbol of people who died and served this country? There are other countries that hate us right now, and they burn a flag. So for us to burn the flag with them, we hate our own country too. If you don't like what's going on and you don't want to do a damn thing about it, my suggestion for you, the people that don't like what's going on in this country, you can get the F out and go somewhere else. And leave us that love our country. Yes, this country have a lot of problems. Yes, this country could be probably the most racist country in the world. But guess what? Nowhere is perfect. Every country has their own issues. So guess what? I'm happy for the freedom that we have right now. I'm happy that the freedom of expression, of religion. I'm happy that I could go on this show every Sunday and just tell it like it is. Oh, yeah, show. Please tune in and just don't tell us what's on your mind. And on that note, there goes my pen. Mic has been dropped. And Sean Black, thank you guys once again. And thank you everyone for. And you know what? I'm going out and I'm going to have some more cranberry juice. How about that? I'm going to celebrate my independence with some cranberry juice and some more Jello shots. Oh, God, that's so much Jello shots.
He said it's some more Jello shots.
Oh, God. Bye. Happy Sunday, you guys. Bye.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Take care. Oh, yes, of course, before I go, Sean Black and HB, Ms. Jones, thank you so much. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all
yours.
All right, now, leave me alone, guys.
Bye.
Okay, Sean Black, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Should we do a show next Sunday without Anitra B?
Why, you know something about it that I don't?
I don't know. I was messing around. All right, peace out, Sean Black.
Oh, boy. Well, let's...
Oh, too bad. I hung up on him. Good night, everyone.